Now let's continue in Isaiah 59. You see, the words of God are absolutely true and apply at any time, whenever these things come up in any society, anywhere in the world, down from the beginning of the first nation before the flood. Verse 12. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us, and our transgressions are with us. And as for our iniquities, we know them. In rebellion and denial of the Lord, and turning away from our God, talking perversely, perversity and revolt, conceiving and speaking from the heart words of falsehood. And as we will see, that is the whole governmental and financial system, and also the whole of so many individual lives. And that's something that I'm going to bring up when I start talking about Christmas for church at home. I'm going to lay the groundwork by saying, do you want the truth? Yes. Do you want all the truth? Yes. What if the truth goes against what you think or believe? What if it is not advantageous to you to admit or to forsake what is wrong and accept the whole truth? Now, what are you going to do? Do you believe that God exists? Do you believe that he is true? Do you believe his word is true? What if you have been absolutely born into a society that has been deceived, and you have been deceived? And if you're deceived and don't know you're deceived, then you don't know you're deceived. But you're still deceived. And you accept a lot of lies as truth. And you reject truth as lies. Now, how are you going to handle that? Then I'll talk about Christmas. Did you know that Christmas made you a liar and a believer in lies and was a driving wedge between you and your children when they finally found out there is no Santa Claus? Oh, but it's so much fun. It's the families involved. That's the cat. How many hooks of lies do you have in you? Likewise, in a society, you see, sins, transgressions, rebellion, denial, turning away from God. Are they running to church? No. It's becoming worse. They're leaving. Are they talking perversity and revolt? Absolutely. Conceiving and speaking from the heart words of falsehood? Yes, beginning right with the presidency of the United States. And justice is driven backward, and righteousness stands far off. For truth is fallen in the street, and uprightness cannot enter. Yea, truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. In other words, you're going to be victimized by other people. Another way of saying is cannibalized. Not necessarily eating your flesh, but cannibalize your reputation, your character, your thoughts, impugn you. And the Lord saw it, and it was evil in his eyes, that there was no justice. And he saw that there was no man. So when it comes down to the time that there is no one, no man, you see, God must act in a very powerful and devastating way. And was astonished that there was no intercessor. So this is what I'm trying to do with these sermons. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation to him, and his righteousness sustained him. And he put on righteousness like a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was covered with zeal like a cloak. That's talking about the return of Christ to rescue this world from this very thing. How else is it going to be saved? No, it won't be saved. All right, let's come back to Isaiah, the second chapter, and let's look at some things. And let's look at the causes of these and how they build up and how correction lies in wait. God is kind and merciful and just, so he holds off his correction seeing if any will change and turn and repent. Isaiah, the second chapter, okay. Verse 6, for you have forsaken your people, the house of Jacob. That is, God has. That day's coming. It's already here. Because they have become full of divinizations from the east. New age religion. And everyone's wanting to know, well, is President Obama a Christian or is he a Muslim? That's not the question. He is a new ager, which means he accepts Christianity and Muslim and every other religion because he believes there are many paths to God. And as Michelle Obama said in her speech, pray for my husband that there will be clean spirits about him. That is a New Age prayer, which tells me, as the Bible says, you'll know them by their fruits, that they believe exactly as Oprah Winfrey. And are fortune tellers like the Philistines, and they shake their hands with the children of strangers, agree on things that are not right or true and evil. Yet at the same time, see, because a nation does not fall when it's at its lowest. A nation or empire falls when it reaches its height and peak. And there are gradual downward movements and then all of a sudden slide. Verse 7. And their land is full of silver and gold. Not any longer. It was. After World War II, we held all the known gold in the world. There is no end of their treasures. Their land is full of horses. Well, not horses today, cars. Okay? Neither is there any end of their chariots, large, small, medium, from motorcycles to trucks. Their land is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, and that's what we do. That which their own fingers have made. And men will be brought low and humbled. Forgive them not. So then it leads up to the day of the Lord. Enter into the rock and hide in the dust for the fear of the Lord. What does that tell you? From what? A land full of silver and gold. A land full of houses, as it says in Deuteronomy 8. And when you are full and dwell in goodly houses, beware that you forget not the Lord. And you forget that it is the Lord who gave you the ability to get wealth. So rather than stick to true wealth, you go to your deceitfulness and you create all of these things that we see in the financial and banking world today. And it's all a mirage and it's all a lie. And it's all going to catch up on everyone and it's going to come down. Now here they're without house, right? Hide in the dust of the earth. Well, if you're out there hiding in the rocks and dust of the earth, you're not in your house, would you agree? Yes, indeed. For fear of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. That's talking about his return. All right, come over here to chapter 3. Let's look at what's going to happen. It will happen. See, now these are not pleasant words. But should we avoid them and hide our eyes from them as if they're not going to happen? And then when they happen, we say, oh, how did that occur? See? For behold, the Lord of hosts, takes away from Jerusalem and Judah, and of course Jerusalem can refer to all of Israel, really, and Judah. Did he not do this? The stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water? Yes. Read Josephus. The fall of Judah in 586 B.C. and in 70 A.D. Exactly what it said right here. The man of might, the man of war, the judge, and the prophet and the diviner and the ancient, the captains of 50, the honorable man and the adviser and the cunning charmer and the skillful enchanter. And I will give young lads to be their princes, and capricious children shall rule over them. Boy, does that not tell us what it's like? And it's going to get worse. See, because all these capricious children are going to grow up, and they're all going to come out here and get what is theirs. And the people shall be crushed, every man by another, every man by his neighbor, and the young shall rise up against the old, and the base against the honorable. And when a man shall take hold of his brother's house, saying, you have clothing, you be our ruler. Let this ruin be under your hand. It's all wrecked and ruined and fallen down. Now you take over. It sounds like the governorship of California, doesn't it? In that day he shall swear, I'm not a healer. There is no bread nor cloak in my house, and you shall not make me a ruler of people. For Jerusalem is staggering, and Judah has fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. And the look of their faces witnesses against them, and they declare their sin like Sodom. They hide it not. You think God is upset, not going to punish because of gay marriage, supposedly gay? They do not hide it. Now we're going to pick up on some woes. Here's one of them. Woe to their soul, their whole body. The sickest group of people in the world are male homosexuals. And you have nothing to look forward to but death. No loved ones, no children, no nothing. For they have rewarded evil to themselves. Now here's some encouragement. So listen up. In the midst of all of this, say to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doing. Woe to the wicked. Let's number all these. That's number two. We had a little glitch with the recording of the video here, so we've got that taken care of now. All right. So we have two woes so far. And let's keep track of them, because we're going to see there are a lot of woes, which is warning of punishment coming because of sin. Now let's continue on here. Verse 10, here's some encouragement for us. Say to the righteous that it will be well with him. So God will watch over you, protect you. Claim Psalm 91 every single day. For they shall eat the fruit of their doings. God will make sure, even in famine, that you will have enough food. Doesn't mean you won't be hungry. In drought, you'll have a little bit of water. Doesn't mean you won't be thirsty. But he'll watch over you. Woe to the wicked. That's the second one here. For the evil doing of his hand shall be given to him. Don't worry. God is going to pay back the evil. Just stay out of the way. That's why. Anyone who thinks that they can solve the problems of the United States of America through an election, it doesn't have a clue as to what is in the Bible. Only Christ can solve the problems of the world today. They are so evil. All right, verse 12. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. I think we're seeing a good number of good, wise, intelligent women running for office. I call that the Deborah effect. You go back and study Deborah and Barak. Barak was so weak that he wouldn't do it, and so Deborah said, all right, I'll go with you, but it's a woman's victory. But the question is, what happens after the Deborah effect? Because can women be as corrupt as men? Yes, indeed. Can it happen to them over a period of time? Yes, indeed. So you see, the solution can only come from Christ. Oh, my people, those who lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths. You grow up in a society that is so perverted, you don't know right from wrong. And your leaders say that's okay. Your teachers tell you that's good. The Lord stands up to plead his case. He stands to judge his people. The Lord will enter into judgment with the elders of his people and their kings. Their day is coming. All the political leaders, their day is coming. Not from the voter, but from God. You have eaten up the vineyard. The spoil of the poor is in your houses. Just like the city of, what was that, Southern California?
Bell.
City of Bell. Small little city and all of the big mucky-muck officials making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. And a potential governor, Jerry Brown, knew nothing about it. Yet he was the attorney general and should have overseen it. See, you can't solve it. You vote out one corrupt politician, another one comes in. Or if you get a righteous one in, all the corrupt politicians get together and block what he's going to do that would be right. So you can take your hats off to Governor Christie in New Jersey and Governor McDonald in Virginia. At least they're making things work fairly well, but they have the cooperation of the people. Never happened in California. All right, let's go forward here. Verse 16. And the Lord says, because the daughters of Zion are proud. Now, someone's going to say, there Fred goes again, picking on women. Well, I'm not. It's in the Bible. God is telling you what you need to do and what you need not do, you see. And I couldn't help but thinking of this when I was in all my travels and, you know, get into the airport. I saw more women that I had to take a double take on to see whether it was really a man or a woman than I've ever seen it before in my life. God says it's a shame for a woman to have short hair or cropped hair, and they're all going around with that. And even some in the church do that. You know, do you believe God or not? And then you look around, see all these long-haired men. And God said it's a shame for a man to have long hair. And yet, all the long-haired freaks are held up as the leaders of the youth, right? I mean, one of the first things to get rid of is MTV. That's what's corrupted our youth more than anything else. And then get rid of all the teachers that they have, because they are all a bunch of how shall we say, teachers of sin and licentiousness, especially in the sex classes. They even give personal lessons on how to do it.
Remember, he was in Harbor Freight Tools.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay. Now, are women causing problems in the society today?
No.
Yes, indeed. Now, if you're not, be thankful. And you probably know of many women who are and have walked with stretched out necks and ogling with their eyes, walking and mincing as they go and making a tinkling with their feet. Therefore, the Lord will strike with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will uncover their secret parts. And that's why we have more nakedness of women than ever before. You know, they have the plunging neckline down to the belly button and the short skirts that are not much different than less than half of a baby diaper, if I could put it that way. All right? And they're proud of it. I mean, look how it has affected people, because the next generation degenerates even more. Look at the daughter of the one who was the vice presidential candidate on the Republican ticket, Dancing with the Stars. That's what it's talking about. The women today don't even know what a woman is, why God created them, the great and fantastic blessings that they really are, and was the final creation of God. No, they have to go out and do all the things that they do. So God is going to uncover their secret parts. In that day, God will take away the beauty of the ankle bracelets and the headbands and the crescents and the pendants and the bracelets and the veils and the headdresses and the leg ornaments and sashes and boxes of perfume and earrings and rings and nose jewels and festal apparel and outward garments and the mantles and the purses and the mirrors and the fine linen and the turbans and the veils. And there shall be, instead of fragrance, rottenness. Instead of sash, a rope. Instead of well-set hair, baldness. Instead of a rich robe, a wrapping of sackcloth and branding instead of beauty. Your men shall fall by the sword and your mighty into war, and her gates shall lament and mourn, that is Jerusalem, and she shall sit deserted on the ground. So if you think that's a little tough, I suggest you read Ezekiel 16 and Ezekiel 23 and see what God says about Jacob. You see? See how God looks at it. So if this offends you, then you need to ask the question, do I really believe God? Okay. Is what I read you in the Bible? Yes, indeed. Why should you be angry at me then? All right, chapter 5. And we're going to pick up some more woes. Verse 8. Wait a minute, is there one more up here a little out of this? Okay, verse 8. Woe to those who join house to house and lay field to field until there's no place left. Sound like our cities? No place for kids to play? No place for them to have fun? No place for them to be kids? If they go out to play, you have to be careful that there are stalkers and rapists and kidnappers, bullies and sex offenders. And you are made to dwell alone in the midst of the land? The Lord of hosts swore in my ears, truly many houses shall be deserted, even great and fair, without inhabitant. That's going to come because of captivity. It's starting with foreclosures. Are there a lot of houses that are empty? Without inhabitant? Yes, indeed. Yea, verse 10, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath of fruit. The seed of an omer shall yield an ephah. Woe! So there we go, that's number 4. To those who rise up early in the morning to go after strong drink, who continue late into the night while wine inflames them. You can add into that drugs and everything like that. Verse 12, and the lyre and the harp and the drum and the pipe and the wine are all at their feast. This is like, you know, Friday night, Saturday night partying, rock concerts, home parties, drugs. Does not God know that and see that? Yes, he does. But they do not regard the work of the Lord, yea, they do not see the work of his hand. Therefore, my people are gone into exile because they have no knowledge. It's going to happen. And I used to think, well, I didn't know if they could invade the United States. Well, I think it's already invaded, and it's just a matter of who has the arms. And their honorable men are famished, and their multitude is dried up with thirst. Therefore, the grave has enlarged its appetite and opened its mouth without limit. Down goes her glory, and multitude, and brawlers, and he who rejoices in her shall go down into it. A man is bowed down and men are brought low and the eyes of the lofty are humbled. These are the things that are coming. This is what's going to happen. But the Lord of hosts is exalted in judgment and God the Holy One is sanctified in his righteousness. Then shall the lambs feed. Then it talks about the ultimate thing of the return of Christ. Now again, verse 18. Woe to those who draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin with cart ropes, who say, let him hurry and hasten his work so that we may see it. Let the purpose of the Holy One of Israel draw near and come, that we may know it. It's going to come. Gospel is going to be preached in all the world. Another woe. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Isn't that what we have today? Everything upside down. I saw a very interesting thing on the news the other day about people who win the lotto. When they first get their ticket, they're happy. Oh, I won the lotto. But they've done a study on them. After that, they become the most unhappy, terribly dissatisfied people in the world. See? Verse 21, woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. That's what we have today in everything, don't we? Yep. Woe to those who are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink and just add into it drugs and all of that with it, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, God says it's going to happen. Now, what I want you to understand is these things that are coming are because of sin. Because of sin in the world, sin in the society, sin in people that you know, sin in your neighbors and your relatives, all collective. God looks at the whole picture. And he gives plenty of warning, does he not? Is his word not cover all of these things time and time and time again? Yes, indeed. Verse 24, therefore as the fire devours the stubble and the flame burns up the chaff, their root shall be rottenness and their blossoms shall go up like the dust, because, here's the reason for all of this, everything we have covered and read from the scriptures today is right here. Because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. That's the cause. That's what has happened. Here's what they should have done. Let's look and see what they should have been taught at home, in school, in churches. Let's come to Proverbs. Book of Proverbs. Proverbs, the third chapter. Wouldn't it have been nice if the world would have done this? They had the word of God. They could have done it. They had the churches. They had a lot of people going to church. They could have taught it, couldn't they? They could have taught the same thing in the schools. Couldn't also this be taught on television? Yes, indeed. But you see, the carnal mind is enmity against God, is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. But nevertheless, had they done this even in the letter of the law, even in the letter of the law, think if the majority of people would have done this instead of giving themselves over to sin, instead of allowing the Bible and the Word of God to be subverted by supposed teachers who knew nothing of God, think what it would have been like if they would have done just Proverbs 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my law. That's not only son, that's daughter as well. But let your heart keep my commandments. Now, when you understand this verse 1, this was written by David to Solomon. And think how Solomon started out, but look at how he finished. So likewise, we need to consider how we start and also how we finish. Remember, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. Here's what everyone wants. For they shall add length of days and long life and peace to you. Isn't that what everyone wants? You show me one person that doesn't want that. You can't find them. Do not let mercy and truth forsake you. That's how you keep your mind, your ability. That's how you love your neighbor as yourself. Love God. Bind them around your neck. Write them upon the tablet of your heart. So shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Hey, there it is right there. Isn't that what people want? Yes. Everything that every human being desires, God has shown how to do it. And all of these people that are in so much trouble in their lives, whatever their sin may be, I imagine that they have access to a Bible, don't you think? And it's written in a language they can understand, isn't it? All right, here's what God says. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Boy, that's a whole lifelong thing to really keep in mind, see. Don't let yourself be deceived by your own ways, you see. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. You want God in your life? Doesn't this tell you how to do it? Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. For it shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. And that means it'll be health to all of your vital organs internally. And your bones will produce, the blood is necessary for your life to continue, because that's where blood is made in the marrow of the bones. Honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruits of your increase. Oh, but people want to spend the money on themselves. There are even those in the church who don't believe in tithing. Some don't even believe in giving offerings. Does God know that? Of course he does. How do you express your thankfulness to God then? For the physical things that you have. Because in him we live and move and have our being. There's nothing we haven't received. Hey? And it brings the blessings of God, does it not? Should we not do that then? And your barn shall be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst with new wine. God will take care of you. But notice, there's going to be some correction along the line. Because we all need correction. As human beings, we're flawed. As human beings, we sin. But God is there to forgive and blot out and restore. All right? Verse 11, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. And of course, did not Paul quote this? Yes, he did. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gets understanding. For the merchandise is better than the gain from silver, or its produce more than the gain of fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all things you can desire are not to be compared to her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her paths are ways of pleasantness, and all her ways are ways of pleasantness. All her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold upon her. Happy is everyone who holds her fast. So that's the solution to it. Now, even at this late date, if there were a lot of people in the world who would do this, who would just take Proverbs 3, begin to apply it to their lives, change the way that they are living, repent to God, I'm sure the hand of God's correction would be held back for a time, because that's how merciful God is. But nevertheless, we have to go through these things and understand them so we realize what lies ahead. Well, I'll continue and give you more on the nitty-gritty of financing and things like that in the next sermon.